Abraham. It's a man called Abraham. He was with his wife, and without thinking anything, they were just having a normal day, as they've always had. And suddenly, he looked in a distance and he saw three people walking. There's always been people that walk around in threes. But because of his prophetic relationship, he knew they were not just physical people. He welcomed them to his house and immediately recognized they were messengers of heaven. And the Lord was in their midst. And he quickly prepared food for them, gave them a good hospitality. And the Lord spoke a word and he said, Abraham, in this cycle of time, in this cycle of season, your wife Sarah is going to bring forth a son. And you call his name Isaac. The word used there is the word that's in Hebrew, but in Greek, there are two kinds of time, the natural time that we use and the spiritual time that manifests the timing of God for our destinies is different from the physical time. So the time and the cycle of season used there was your kairos. That word for God's time is kairos. Your kairos moment has come. And in this kairos moment, that which God has spoken into your life will come to pass. Now, you realize Abraham is now 100 years old. Sarah 80. He's promised for a long time. Amen? Amen? Sound system. We just invited people from Chattanooga yesterday. They came and fixed this, but thank God it's still working. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you, Daisy. Thank you so much. They entered into God's timing for the season. Moses, a man by the name of Moses, has been waiting and walking and just a normal giving up on what he received for quite some time. And he was just walking around, normal day job and doing things that he normally does in the wilderness. And suddenly as he was going home, suddenly he saw a bush burning. But what caught his attention was it was not a normal fire. And the bush was burning, but it was not being destroyed. So he looked and got closer, and then he heard the voice of God. And the Lord, through the angel, started speaking. And God told him, you have entered a new season, and you've entered your kairos moment. The time appointed for God to visit Israel, and the reason you've been prepared is now kicking in, and Moses, your environment is about to change because now I'm sending you back to Pharaoh. There was a young man who's gone through so much and he's gone through seasons of his life and expectations from God. And all of a sudden, he found himself with so much dream, but now he was in jail. In the darkest moment of his life, there was no way out. He was right there in the bottomless of Pharaoh's dungeon, where the prisoners there actually, there is no hope unless a miracle takes place. And while he was there just serving his life sentence and just waiting and put everything of his dream out there in the shelf. All of a sudden, after all the human effort, all of a sudden there was a message from Pharaoh. Hurry, you are going to stand in the presence of Pharaoh. Suddenly, overnight, Joseph has to clean up himself and came before Pharaoh, and only to find out that his gift has made room for him to speak into the empire, the greatest king standing in that. And Joseph, for the first time, realized my Kairos moment has come. I can go on and on, but you understand what a Kairos moment is. Is before the foundations of the earth, the God who created this world has already finished his work. And he has put times and seasons for everything to unfold until the end of the end. And in every generation, he has raised up men and women who, if they pay attention to the purpose of God in that generation, they will steward the plans of God for their time. And so, occasionally in the Bible, God will give dreams or visions, like the people I just mentioned. Abraham, you'll be father of nations. Joseph, you're going to reign. You're going to be an influence in your generation. Moses, you're going to deliver Israel. They tapped into a season in their generation. But as they waited for it, it looked like the closer they got to it was the worst moments of their life. So it looks impossible. And so, because God has already ordained those things to happen, and God has already set everything in place, those people that we talked about, there comes a time when that thing God has spoken, when it begins to unfold, nothing can stop it. Nothing is impossible before it. Nothing is barren before it. No mountain. Actually, when that time comes, God says, I will make the mountains plain and I will lift up the valleys. So that whatever God does in that time, no flesh can really take the glory. And all eyes will only see the glory of the Lord. That's why many times, if you look at all the great people God has used, Jesus made this prophetic word about them. Unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies, he can't manifest the fruit that is accountable to God's kingdom. Amen? Amen? So flesh and blood, God has a way of passing us through processes so that when he brings us to that place where he has destined, Paul says in Romans, God has predestined us. He brings us to that place where it is no more us, but him by his Spirit that is working and he's getting the glory. Amen? Amen? Now, the difference between the timing of the human calendar and the spiritual calendar, because the spiritual world governs the physical world. The difference between the timing of the physical calendar and the spiritual calendar is what we call Kairos moments. Amen? Amen? And those are the examples I just mentioned to you. You can be going about your business, but then suddenly there's a shift. But something Isaiah saw prophetically in Isaiah 64, he explained destiny this way. He said, Isaiah 64 verse 4. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared. Then he says, for those who wait for him. So God has prepared something for every one of us, especially for born again. But that doesn't mean that we know it Or even when we have dreams or visions about it, we know fully how God will bring it about. Amen? Amen. But the key is waiting. It says, for those who wait for him. It's a key. Meaning, those who wait for the Lord, they might be given the opportunity to be sensitive to times and seasons in their lives. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he quoted the same scripture Isaiah said, but this is what he says. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. But these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. For no man knows this, the heart, but the Spirit of God which is in him. Amen? Amen? So in the New Testament, God doesn't want us to be ignorant about God being a GPS and causing us to have understanding of times and seasons. Even in the Old Testament, he says there was an oil of anointing upon the children of Issachar that they understood times and seasons so they can give understanding of instruction to the children of Israel so they are not ignorant of why God has made them a peculiar people to make a difference in the earth. As believers, we are not called to just live anyhow. We are called to be influencers. We are called to be city influencers, city nation influencers. We are called to make a difference in our generation. But that is only for those who wait and who understand God's purpose and calling in their lifetime. Amen? Amen. So here in the book of Ecclesiastes, again, Solomon said, to everything, there is a season and there is a time. To everything, every purpose under heaven. Amen? We have seasons here from spring all the way to fall. And it begins again from spring to fall. A cycle of, and then we have day and night. There is day and then the night comes and the day comes and the night comes. It's been commanded by God from the very foundations of the earth, times and seasons, day and night, sowing and reaping shall not cease. So, a time to be born, a time to die, a time for this, a time to plant, a time of harvest. So, what I just wanted us to say quickly here is, we have a natural time that we follow as human beings. And that natural time tends to be a major obstacle for spiritual people. A natural time for man, God said, Abraham, you have a child. But the natural time for Sarah expired. So that became a problem because we are human. Joseph, you're going to be a great person. The natural time and the natural thing you see physically, they make sense. How can you be an influencer and you are putting life imprisonment in a jail that is worse than any other jail? It doesn't make sense to the natural. Moses, you're going to deliver this whole nation. He tried it, he failed, and now he's locked up in a wilderness somewhere, just living a normal life. It doesn't make sense to a man in the physical that he will change the season and destiny of a whole nation out of a nation. So, the only way to be in alignment with God's timing and the only way to flow with God's timing is by faith. Because God is a spirit and those who walk with God must walk with him by spirit. And that's faith. Faith is the ability to magnify the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom of God above physical kingdom. Believe the words of the kingdom you don't see to preside over what you see. That's faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, the word this morning is, you know, we have cycles of season. Winter come, winter go. New year come, new year go. A woman gives birth and gives birth again and gives birth again. But each time seasons come and go, it's a cycle of experience. This morning is not just a word. The word that the Lord put in my spirit this morning is to release an awakening of a new season, cycle of time in our lives. The reason I believe that we've entered a new cycle of time, I've seen these seasons come and go in Mount Zion in various ways. But as we're entering this particular season, I ask God, I say, give a token, a sign, that this cycle will bring in a new cycle upon the cycle of what he's already doing. And he gave a sign. And I received that sign. So I know that sign is a confirmation that we are all entering a new season for them that believe. Isaiah prophesied about the principles of a new season this way. He says, I will do a new thing. A new thing. He says, behold, it shall spring forth. And he says, the purpose of a new season springing forth, he says, so that you will forget the former things. Because new seasons are redemptions of progressive going from glory to glory of your past. Amen. Now, I want to read something so you understand prophetically about the season we're in. It's not just about Mount Zion. It's about creation, about us, about the church, about the world, about the Jews, everybody. When the Kairos moment comes, it can affect individual people in their lives and their dreams. It can affect the vision of a city, the vision of a nation. Can affect the vision as it relates to what God is doing in the earth. So this has to do with a cycle of a shift in the earth, but specifically in each of our lives that have been called by faith to enter a shift in this hour. So let me read this to you really quick and then read one or two more scriptures. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, Exodus 12, verse 1, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor nest unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make the account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with all the putness thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, that which remaineth until the morning you shall burn with fire. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now listen to this, because it's very connected to why this word came. And the blood shall be to you a sign, a token, a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to read another scripture from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I have given to thee, even to the children of Israel. Okay. Now Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua chapter 5, we'll read for time here. Verse 2, 5, 2. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause by which Joshua did circumcise them. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they have not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he will not show them the land which the Lord swore unto their fathers, that he will give unto them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, they were healed. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, whereof the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. That's the first month. In the evening at the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land the morrow after the Sabbath, the day after Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the same day. Amen. 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 I could read more and more scripture in the book of Joel and other scriptures, but I think this will create enough understanding. If we read more later, we can go to this season. Kairos moment, God's timing, interrupting God's human agenda in the season God has appointed things to happen. God called Moses, like you can see. And when the time came, there were ways God was preparing to bring them out of Egypt. And there were strokes of judgment and strokes of judgment. But none of them opened the door for a new season. None of them judged the powers of Satan in that season from holding back that moment, that Kairos moment for Israel. And God told Moses, get ready. We're about to do something that will change things and open the door so that this new season will begin to take effect. So he told Moses what I just read to you, but this is the emphasis. He says, this month will be the beginning of months. The first month. And he told him what to do in that first month. And what will happen on the 14th day of that first month. And he called it on that 14th day will be a Passover. And I'll pass over Egypt. And then if you go further to read after they came out, he told Moses in Leviticus, in order, say, make this a memorial the rest of your life. Amen? So what happened in this Kairos moment, this God's moment? This moment has been spoken to Abraham 430 years before that it will happen. But the hour has come, the season has come, and everything looks impossible. So as God begins to make a way where there is no way, God begins to do miracles. Amen? But the key was the blood. When God spoke to Moses, he says, I have come to honor the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I will bring them out of this land. And then that covenant, he told Moses, take the blood of bulls and goats and put it over the doorposts, the houses of the children of Israel. For this night, I will make a difference between that which is God and which is not of God. And a shift took place in that moment. That was with Israel. This first month, if you now go back all the way to when God created the heavens and the earth, go forward all the way to Revelations, this month that God unfolded to Moses is God's calendar. Everything God does, but you can see it in Ezekiel, in Haggai, you will see that this month defined the seasons, the seven seasons in the life of Israel, and define the prophetic seasons God will use to manifest his purposes up to the book of Revelation. So, prophetically, when Jesus came, no, let's finish the Old Testament. This same season in the Old Testament, remember Moses went 40 years of his season before coming to release Israel out of Egypt. Amen? Now, I read to you Joshua chapter 1. He said, 40 years the children have been in the wilderness. This time now Moses' season has ended. He's now dead. And now Joshua is to pick up this new season. But this season has to do with the whole nation of Israel. So God raised up Joshua. And God told Joshua, now Moses is dead. A new season has come. That new season that came, the reason I read chapter 5 to you is because that new season began in the first month, just like it began in Egypt. That season in Moses' time, that very first month, that Passover, they crossed the Red Sea and started now a new day into the plans and purpose of God. This very first month, God also called Joshua, raised him up, and called him to cross Jordan to enter into the promised land. It was the same timing. And it was a new beginning. So prophetically, not that that has to always be the case in our personal life. But we're talking about global, corporate, God's purpose for the world. This same timing is why we are here today. Jesus understood that he was going to be that lamb. He has been in Israel. He has been serving. He's been in Jerusalem for the 2-3 years he's been ministering. He's been serving, lived in Israel, doing every ministry, working. But this time, he was going to Jerusalem. The Bible says he set his face like a flint. He understood the hour has come. And he told them that the Son of Man will be glorified. But before he will be glorified, he says it's like a corn of wheat has to go into the ground and die to produce fruit. Then Jesus now told his disciples, every time something is going to happen to me in this season. And he kept repeating that this will happen to me. They will humiliate me. They will do this to me. They will kill me. And the third day I will rise again. He kept preparing them for the season. Just like right now, the whole world has entered a new season. But still a lot of people are sleeping over it. COVID started it. Ukraine war is extending the butt pains. But people are still sleeping instead of preparing for it. The disciples had it over and over and over. They did not understand. But what made it worse for the disciples was, on this very day in the first month, as Jesus, who understood the timing, both from Joshua and from Moses, understand is entering a new season. And this season is his time of departure in the physical, but the time of awakening, a new covenant for the destinies and endless time to enter. As he was going into this new season and preparing for it, something happened. On this day, it was called Palm Sunday. It was called Triumphal Entry. The disciples saw it. Everybody saw it. Guess what? It was like, wow, we are now going to rule and reign. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. We've been waiting for this moment. They were very excited. Because they were looking at various prophecies. And they brought a donkey on this day. Jesus asked for the donkey. You all know the story. He sat on this donkey. And they started praising him. They started worshiping the Lord. And the children started singing. And they were putting palm branches all over where he was passing. They were taking their clothes, because that is symbolism in Israel, in honoring a king, like they did with Jehu. They put it on the floor, and they caused the people putting their garments on the floor, putting palm branches, meaning they were welcoming the Messiah to Israel to rule and to reign. In prophetic season, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61. Because he has anointed me for this. Verse 2. Two things he came to do. One was the acceptable year of the Lord. And the second B part is the year of the vengeance of the Lord. So they thought, okay, this is the time now Jesus is coming to take over physically. But no, it's the time of the Lamb. So he mounted on that donkey. They were celebrating, and you know their mind now, celebrating this new season in this first month. And then the cycle started shifting. But before the cycle shifted, for Jesus to now be arrested, and things started happening, and they started seeing him slapped, beaten, taken, arrested by Pilate, and the Jews started condemning him. First, it was Hosanna, blessed is he who comes. Before you know it, it was crucify him. But before that, Jesus did something that marks the season, communion, what we call communion today. He told them, he says, I'm going to break bread with you. But this bread and this wine you're going to take is the new covenant in my blood. The word new. It's the new covenant in my blood. as often as you take this, you do this in remembrance of me. Basically, what you are about to see happen will be a covenant forever and ever and ever. The same thing God told Moses, take that lamp, keep it till the 10th day, and wait till the 14th day. Exactly that same season, Jesus was taking communion, preparing them. He said, very soon, this will be the blood of covenant. They still didn't understand. So when they saw everything happening, he was beaten, yawning, what happened, and all his disciples scattered. But John went with him. And on that cross, we call it Easter Sunday, Good Friday. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday. This was Palm Sunday, when they were, Hosanna, Hosanna. It was a new season. And then on that cross, Good Friday, on that cross, is the 14th day of Passover. That day, they say 14th day, Passover. You kill the lamb. Exactly on that 14th day, in that time, it fell on that Friday before the unleavened bread. That's why they could not kill him. But before he came, he was dead. He became the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So God knew that before the foundations, but this was the Kairos moment for this to happen in the earth. And it changed the whole earth. And that was the birth of resurrection. The firstborn of the church was released. Today, we are spiritual people. And we have a spiritual citizenship. Only by faith, that citizenship overrides the physical world. And those who operate that way always overthrow circumstances, no matter how limited they are. Amen? Amen? So this was that season. This was that timing. Now, let me read this scripture so you understand prophetically why it's important. Let's open to the book of Joel. Why it's important for us to pray into this moment. And why, you, as we pray into it, you can call yourself and receive a new season. In the book of Joel, Joel prophesied, and if you remember, Peter talked about that prophecy. Peter mentioned that prophecy in the book of Acts. But this is what the book of Joel said, the part people don't sometimes see. Let's read from the book of Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Let's read from verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the what? In the first month. In the spring. The beginning of prophetic. The reason why we call it spring is because it's in alignment of God's divine first beginning of seasons. The spring is the beginning of God's season. That's why nature aligns to it. First month is the spring in God's calendar. Amen? Some of your Bibles will not say first month, it will say spring. Time. So, this is a prophetic statement, doesn't it? It says, God says, I will give you your rain in a season. Both the former and the latter. Amen? Amen. And then this is what God says about prophetic season. He says, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore. Everybody say restore. I'll restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, a great army which I sent up. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has done wondrously unto you, my people, shall never be ashamed. And it goes on, and then it comes to the popular one everybody knows, verse 28, and it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards. That's Pentecost. But Pentecost is 50 days from the beginning of the first fruits, from resurrection. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And it goes on and on and on. Amen? Amen. Now, when they were having this experience in the book of Acts, nobody knew what was happening. Amen? Amen? But the Bible says God's spirit upon Peter. He received by the Spirit that this is that which was prophesied by Joel, that this will happen. So we are now experiencing a Kairos moment, an interruption of heaven on earth in God's agenda. A Kairos moment. Kairos moment is every time your eyes begin to see and your ears begin to hear and your heart begin to receive what God has prepared for you. Amen. Individually, city. So that's always been how Man Zion has lived. Wait on the Lord and always waiting and praying for God to give us clarity of the season. And then we pray into that season and wait into that season. It doesn't necessarily have to be for us, but what God is doing in the earth. But the reason I talk about a season, I'm praying into it, is the world is evolving. Let me quickly tell you something. We just shared about the Bible and what happened here. There's no need to go and be sharing about the revelation God gave the book gave to Daniel. But my brothers and sisters, there were things that happened 1914 to 1918. But before that time, there was a shift in the earth. And that shift built a momentum. And that momentum awakened a generation and shifted the balance of power. And the whole world was rearranged. And that's when the First World War demarcated the world into Soviet Union, British, this and that. And America was just rising. Now, the world continued in that direction. And continued in that direction. All of a sudden, a shift started again. And this time it started with a movement with Hitler, and the world put their head in the sand. The prophetic world then was thinking the world was coming to an end, and things were just out of place. But people just looked at it and took it and said, okay. But before they woke up to it, it awakened Second World War. The First World War, the end of the First World War, the whole world said, we're not going to fight the war anymore. Let's hold ourselves accountable. They formed an organization called the League of Nations to hold nations accountable so we don't destroy ourselves and maintain boundaries. It did not stand. The Second World War shook the whole world, brought America and all that happened. At the end of the Second World War, America emerged as a superpower with Soviet Union. But the greatest thing that happened prophetically in that season was a Kairos moment, was a 2,000 years prophecy that Israel will regather in their homeland. In 1948, after almost 2,000 years of scattering Israel, that prophecy was fulfilled Israel became a nation. And I only said that for this. Every prophetic nation that the book of Revelation says will have a role to play in the end time, they are activating themselves right now. COVID shook the whole world, basically awakening believers to position themselves to take their place for what is coming, so that like Joseph, there will be a light in the midst of shaking. After the whole world shut down and brought us back, we're no more wearing masks, everybody went back to sleep. But there's a remnant. Then the next thing, God uses snakes to show me, when it was a serpent, showed another serpent for me personally to understand that this is very prophetic. Russia started this whole thing. And now Russia is shaking the balance of the whole world and shifting nations into alignment. When you hear the Bible says, I will shake. Shaking doesn't mean it has to be an earthquake and all those things. Shaking means rearranging and realign. What will force people to do what they're not thinking they would do to come in alignment with a prophetic season. And that's happening right now. With China, with Russia, all the nations that will play a role in the destiny of Israel are being aligned physically and spiritually. So all that is happening. Where is the church? What are we supposed to be doing? A few weeks ago, a few months ago, it was like a little spark came out of Asbury, of a flame of fire. And it awakened such a reality that the body of Christ is really starving for a move of God. Because before the spark came, people were ignited. Nothing serious, but just the hunger was unprecedented. And it was squashed immediately by the fear of religion. But there's always a little sign that God is about to do something. Amen? Amen? So right now, God is doing a shaking, but the shaking is causing movements and alignments to be positioned for what God is about to do. And this season, actually this Wednesday, will be the official 14th day of the first month. It's going to be Passover. We are going to have a special communion this Wednesday here. And we had a communion on the first day of the first month. We are going to have communion today, but we're going to, on this Palm Sunday, we have another one. You can have communion every day if you want to. You can have it once a year. But we are having it prophetically. One, to partner, to agree with God, and to release destinies. To release Kairos moment in our lives. To come in alignment. The first communion we took, I got this call. And it has opened a global door. Naturally. So I know that this season, like it's always done in the season, Mount Zion has gone from season to season. From local here and that. But this season and this phone call was just a sign I needed that we should take this season and be open to where God is taking the body of Christ and be positioned. Amen? Amen. So the communion we want to take this morning is all I share this for. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing and receiving understanding by the word of God. Revelation. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. But let me tell you what a new season does. When the new season came for Egypt, when it came for Israel, it was a time when Pharaoh's control was broken. It was a time when the finger of poverty was broken. They retrieved the gold of Egypt. It was a time when the power of sickness was broken, physically for Israel. And if you fast forward to the time of Joshua, it was a time they said, that Passover, after they took that Passover, they celebrated that Passover. It says they ended eating manna and they started eating the corn of the land. They started partaking of the fruit of their next season. The blood is a signpost. The blood is a signpost of our destiny. The blood also is a voice that defends our destiny and terminates the plan of darkness. The blood is what the spiritual realm uses to separate Israel from Jews. He said, when I see, from the spirit, when I see, the blood is not this physical thing we're taking. It's a faith alignment with something that is honored in the spiritual realm. Then, after them, Joshua did it. Then Jesus now sealed it for all generations of the born agains. He says, this communion, this blood, as often as you take it, you remember. What do you remember about this season? About Jesus on that cross. Now, as we pray and we take the communion, this is what I want to encourage you to do. So you can allow God take away everything that will hold you and push you into this new season, whatever it's going to be. The example God has always used for me to know the power of the blood is the life of David. The life of David. Every young person here, every child here, I want you to hear this. The things of the Spirit is not by might, nor by power. It's by revelation. God showed me, he says, David did not kill Goliath because he was the best of Saul's army. Goliath means something impossible to deal with. Something intimidating literally to a whole nation. Something like a mountain, something big. And that's what Goliath was. But when David came to Goliath, he came with three things. And that three things is found in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. We overcome, we overthrow by the blood of the Lamb. Not my human blood. Not my human inheritance. Not my human heritage that is polluted. But I carry the lineage of Christ. I represent heaven. And I stand as an ambassador of heaven. If I believe it, heaven vindicates me. We overcome means that word overcome. We win battles, we overthrow, we dismantle, we rule, we prevail by the blood of the Lamb. That's what happened in Egypt. And by the word of our testimony. What you believe according to God's promise, will you enter that cycle of manifestation. And they love not their life unto death. I can't go into the details. All I will tell you is faith. Faith does not look to the physical. When you walk by faith, you're a dead man. Only dead people live by faith. Because faith is not for natural people. Faith works with God, spiritual. So, the three things David did was, first, in the Old Testament, he did exactly what he said. He says, one, the blood. He looked like Goliath. He says, Goliath, who is this uncircumcised person? He recognized that Goliath is not a child of covenant. It's not of Abraham's covenant with God. So one, the blood of the Lamb. Satan has been defeated on the cross. And the blood of the Lamb has given us that certification. We are that citizen. Two, by the word. By the word of God. He spoke it. He says, you, I'm going to cut off your neck and you'll be fed to birds today. He spoke by faith what he was believing God for. He says, speak the word only. Speak the word only and sure. Speak to the mountains. Speak. God spoke and there was one, the blood, citizenship. Two, speak. Then that three, faith in the name of Jesus. When you have faith in the name of Jesus, you have died to your human lineage. Faith makes you above human. Amen? Anything that is not of faith is human, of a fallen world. So faith, Jesus says, by my name, I've given you my name. What Shazar is asked. So David used those three things by faith. He says, you are uncircumcised, you have no covenant with our God. Two, I speak, I declare the word of the Lord that this will happen to you. Then three, you come to me with your sword and this, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Three things, and Goliath, and he obeyed, and Goliath fell. And that was a new season in Israel. And David was promoted. Every new season brings promotion to your life. It brings promotion from what you've been going through. What you've already sown. It brings to a new season. And new other seasons will come. Seasons will come. Seasons will come. So this morning is a prophetic beginning of the first month. Is the month of beginning, the month of communion, the month we remember the blood more than any other month, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday most. So this morning, we're going to take this communion, and you are going to believe as a citizen of heaven that God is bringing you to a new day, and you're going to speak what you're believing God based on the promise of God on your life, and you're going to stand upon the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the Lord. You change it not. Katabus. You are the Lord. You change it not. You are the Lord. You change it not. You are the Lord. You change it not. Almighty God, you change it not. You are the Lord. You change. Yet no, Father, you are the same yesterday. You are the same today. You are the same forever. What you did for Noah, what you did for Joseph, what you did for Abraham, what you did for David, what you did in the past, what you did for the apostles, what you did on the cross. Father, you have not changed. That you are a God who keeps covenants. You are the one who remembers covenants. And you are faithful to those who look to that covenant. You are the same today. That you who overthrew Pharaoh by that blood. You who parted the Red Sea and released destinies. You who makes a way where there is no way, you are still a miracle worker. You who raises the dead and you call those things that be not as though they were, you are still the same. Your covenant you will not break, and that promise that has gone out of your mouth, you will not. So, Father, today we thank you. We come to you this day by the blood of the Lamb. We enter this new season. We enter this new month where the voice of the blood of the Lamb in Mount Zion, Hebrews 12, still speaks. Today, let this blood speak for us. 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 Father, let the blood bring us into our new season. Let this blood bring us into our new season. Let this blood bring judgment to every spirit that is contending for us moving into this new season. Father, I thank you for this blood over Zion. This blood over every family in this house, over everyone at the sound of my name. I thank you that the blood of the Lamb will speak. And Father, let your promises come forth. And we declare this in the name of Jesus. You can pray, you now pray. Your personal testimonies comes from personal commitments. Pray. Close the door of the past.
Thank you for the power in the blood of Jesus. Lord, today as we partake of this bread together of your body and become one with you again, and as we partake of this blood, Lord, we declare, oh God, that we are one with you in the name of Jesus, that our battles become your battles, that everything that challenges us is yours, oh God, to deal with in the name of Jesus. We remember what you did for us in gratitude and thanksgiving. And we also say, let that voice of the blood speak now over everyone in this sanctuary, everyone watching online. Let the blood, the voice of the blood, be released right now to bring healing and completion and deliverance upon each of us, and also to bring judgment on every power of the enemy that has risen up against your people. Let those powers be judged today. Bring to an end, O God, the harassment, the battle, the enslavement of the enemy over each one. We close the door. We say no more will Satan pursue any of us. But from now, O God, we declare we are free. We are delivered. We are healed. We are rescued. And new things have come into this new season. We receive with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can take. Amen.